Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about spirituality, healing, energy, alternative medicine, higher levels of consciousness, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun way to nourish your spirit. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
We want to welcome everybody to the Transformation Cafe. As always, I'm Robin Misevich, your regular host here for the cafe, and we have Miss Gloria joining us tonight. Hey, Miss Gloria, how are you?
I am great, thank you. It's wonderful to be here tonight.
Great for you to be here. So, just going to jump in real quick. We're going to talk tonight about coming from really talking about the gift of conversation, and there's been this phenomenon that's been happening. Actually, I went back and looked at it, and it's really kind of started for me in my awareness back in 2012, where we've got celebrity comedians that are starting these web shows. And the one that I got started with first was Comedians in Cars with Coffee with Jerry Seinfeld. And there's a new one out with that I just became familiar with Steve Buscemi. And he has a show called Park Bench, the show. And what it is these actors and comedians are just going out and either meeting celebrity people that they know that they've worked with, or they have just different kinds of people on there. The Park show is kind of interesting because it's really just all different kind of people that Steve is finding that he finds interesting and has them on a show. People either he's worked with the different series or movies and things that he's been involved with. He had one episode not that long ago that was an all-female accordion band that I haven't seen that episode yet, but how he got them all on the Park Bench, I don't know. And the thing I really love about Park Bench is it's actually on wheels. And so it can show up anywhere. It could be in a bar, it could be at a hospital, it could be, you know, in a theater. They basically can roll it into anywhere, have any kind of situation where, depending on where the person is they want to talk to or if they just want to bring the bench in and see what happens, all this stuff is very improv and really just giving people an opportunity to have what they're calling a talking show instead of a talk show. So it's really just sitting down with somebody and just starting having a conversation and seeing where that conversation goes. And I really love with the Transformation Cafe because back 4 years ago when we started it, that was my vision and a collaboration with people that we were just sitting around at a cafe. And we were having that great conversation and just seeing where it would go and just seeing just the impact and just the spontaneous conversations that were happening, we'd all just looked at each other and said, man, this would make really great radio. I'd love to sit and have that opportunity to call in and be able to just, you know, add to the conversation. So just to remind everybody, you know, we will have our switchboard is open if you want to go ahead and join us on the conversation. That number will be 646-727-3206, and we do have a chat room open if you want to go ahead and just be adding to the chat room as well, going to blogtalkradio.com. So what do you think about having I don't know if Gloria's had the opportunity to see any of these shows, but what do you even think of the idea of something like that where they're having these talking shows instead of a talk show?
I miss Art Linkletter.
Yes. Yeah, really, you know, and in some ways it's true that it is kind of an Art Linkletter thing because, I mean, you know, think about it when he had, you know, Kids Say the Darndest Things. I hope that's available on YouTube, that you can go back and look at his different shows and stuff that he had where he just would just ask kids these random questions and see what they would say. I mean, yeah, in some ways I think that that's really true. It was a talking show instead of a talk show. It would be basically a variety and have it where, you know, anything and everything could happen, so let's see what will happen. Yeah, I think that's true. I hadn't even thought about that. But what do you think of the current trend with these guys setting up scenarios and then just having celebrities and interesting people that they just wind up having, you know, conversations with?
I have looked at the idea, mm-hmm. and I have never engaged in watching in the show because it goes along the premise a lot with the idea of, I mean, I don't know, it's a mix, in my opinion, it's a mm-hmm. mix between two situations. It's a mix between having a valuable conversation on a valuable topic and mixing it with the idea of the Seinfeld's original idea and premise for the show of having a show about nothing.
But yet all these different things can happen with it.
And so I see it as a way that, you know, information, it's kind of a morphing and you have the TED Talks where people, you know, share ideas, and then you have these other talks where people share ideas, and it's just different venues and different levels, and I think it's like a cross between going to work and needing to wear a business suit for a meeting compared to casual day Friday, and it's the same thing but yet different.
Well, let's say once I started watching Jerry Seinfeld's Comedians in Cars with Coffee, and you can actually just go to comedianscarswithcoffee.com, and he has a website, and he's actually been doing it since about 2012, and he's got six seasons along with what he calls single shots, which is a bunch of outtakes. So just he's taken, because he really will take, he'll hang out with a celebrity comedian, he'll hang out with a comedian for pretty much a day. So not all of it's going to make it to the original show anyway, and they'll have some kind of themes and stuff that they do, and the little shots that they have, the single shots, are literally less than about 2 minutes. And it's just all these little highlights of them talking about certain topics and things like that, which is kind of fun. But the one thing I found in starting to see some of these comedians and some of the things they would talk about and the mindset of a comedian as opposed to other occupations was just really interesting to me about the way that they think, how they think, the disciplines of a comedian compared to other occupations and things like that was very, very interesting. Things you wouldn't necessarily think about when you think of somebody, you know, in the entertainment field and being a comedian. So for me, it was really just really interesting to see how each of those people, you know, well-known and in the way that they do their comedy are different from one another, and yet how they see the similarities and things that they find interesting. And one thing I like about how Jerry does his show is his dad owned a garage, and so he's always had a love for cars. And he knows his cars, and you know, on his own personal level, he has quite a collection of just different kinds of sports cars and stuff that he has. And from that, he always picks a car that represents to him something about the person that he's going to be hanging around with for the day when they're driving around in the vehicle. So I think that's interesting too. So there's a lot of little things that he adds to the show, and depending on the celebrity that he chooses. They've been on boats and just different vehicles. I've had a couple different celebrities that have been on boats and stuff with him. So he's very open to having it being a transportation, but not necessarily a car. So I think that's kind of fun too. And it's always the diners and stuff that they go to for the coffee are always just kind of these mom and pop places or icons, from way back, depending on, you know, where they interview the celebrity. So there's lots of different dynamics that go with the show. It's not just Jerry, just the two of them having a conversation. It's the whole, it's the car and where they go and some of the different things that they talk about when it comes to just their personalities and the way that they could even be talking about the same kind of topics and the way that they, as a comedian, they would address it. So it's really interesting to me that, just to see the dynamics of stuff like that. So I look at it as I've always looked like psychology and the way people think and why they do what they do. So to me, it's an interesting kind of a study in them. Plus, it's funny. You know, you learn a lot about these different people that you have a new appreciation for them when you get to see them. Just basically, you know, kick back and having a visit with each other, and you feel like, you know, you're the fly on the wall when you get to see the conversation. So for me, it's something I look forward to. Every Thursday, they have a new episode or a single shot that they offer, and it's just a real wonderful little thing on that. But you know, I started talking to different people about it, Gloria, and I'd love to get your input on this. And what I found was a lot of people were talking about, you know, why are these, instead of talk shows, why is talking to one another getting to be popular? And a couple of different things that came up with a couple other friends of mine, and they were saying, you know, it's that face-to-face being able to share with one another instead of having it being a text or being on a cell phone or an email. things like that, that, you know, the art of conversation, the art of really sitting with somebody and really sharing yourself with that person and having the one-on-one that can be just such a neat experience for people. And, you know, I think people missing that and wanting to get back to that and just taking the time. And to me, it's like in England, you know, when people would stop and have tea, time to visit with one another, or stop and play cards or something like that. Just the slowing down and really visiting with someone and being very present and really giving each other the opportunity to talk and then to listen, you know, that kind of thing too. So I just really love to hear your perspective on that.
Well, I was looking online at a few things after we talked about it earlier, and I found it interesting because there was one site where somebody was asking if anyone knew where they could go and observe people just having a conversation, a natural conversation. And the dialogue that followed, I think, was interesting because they were talking about how such, and they gave the example that, you know, when you are watching something that's happening in physics, just by the act of watching, you change the dynamics of how that would actually happen. And so they were likening that to a conversation where if people knew that you were listening, that it changed the whole slant of the conversation. Because then people are talking to an audience versus just talking.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was interesting. And then I also saw a couple where people were talking about, you know, as you were saying, the tweeting and the hashtags and all of that. But, you know, when you think about and look at how the dynamics of culture has changed, and some of it is technology, but that's only happened within really the last generation. And even before this current generation, there's always been the dynamics of needing more communication and, you know, people wanting to be part of a family and society. And so when you look at how families are getting separated, you know, you've got different elements living in different parts of the country, and you have different dynamics. And so it's not just a conversation that you can have with someone that's really close. You have more superficial conversations. And so having a deep conversation within a family unit, I think, is something that a lot of people really miss. And it's just exacerbated with the technology aspects. I don't know that technology is, like I said, the cause of it.
Well, I'm just, like you're saying, you know, it's you know, previous generation that basically, you know, didn't have cell phones and didn't have, you know, you would go out for coffee, you would go out and have breakfast or something with somebody, so you could really just have that one-on-one time with somebody. And I really see what you're saying about having somebody observing a conversation as opposed to just a few people being alone and being able to have that. I know one thing with the show with the Comedians in Cars with Coffee, there'll be times when Jerry's talking to the individual comedian and you won't hear what they're saying, but yet they're still talking and the music will come up. So you're not privy to the actual conversation, but you can tell the, you know, just by body language and the way that they're responding to one another about something on a personal level that you can't hear, but yet you can tell that there's an engaging going on, you know, and you know, have it be fun and personal and things like that's happening. So I think that's a good point that you're talking about on it comes to that. So, because like another one of my friends was talking about, well, you know, I think there's such a hunger for that kind of intimacy, being able to be and, you know, share yourself with another person, the friendships and things that have it, you know, that, you know, there's so many people that, you know, still do that where, you know, once a week we're going to get together for breakfast or something like that, just so we can sit and visit with each other. And being able to know that you have that one-on-one time with somebody can be such a precious thing that there's so many people that really don't make the time for that now. So I think it's getting back to that, making it about relationships, you know, making it important, well, making it about connection.
And I think that's also a geographical, cultural aspect, because depending on where you live in the country, I've noticed that different people in different areas, whether it be, I mean, even if you're in a city in a different state, it can still be different than a city in a neighboring state. on the East Coast versus the Midwest, the West, the North, the South. You know, it just, I've just seen so many different personal dynamics. When I first moved to California, I was really amazed because people would, it was almost like paying lip service, and people would pay lip service to getting together, and they would make plans and then just not show up. And then there was no mention of it later that they didn't say, oh, I'm sorry, I missed it. There was no call to say they weren't coming. And I thought, you know, maybe it was just something on a more personal level, but I started checking around, and everybody that I talked to that had moved to California, especially like in Southern California, they were all experiencing the same thing. And they were flabbergasted because it's like, I would never do that where I came from. People just wouldn't behave that way. So each area has its own different cultural foibles, is probably the best way to phrase that. And it's a culture. And so, you know, once you understand it and you can work within it, then the communication goes based on the levels of your understanding of the social norms.
Yeah, and I think that's basically just boundaries and things like that, too, of like, you know, if we do make a commitment to see one another, we're going to do it. You know, it's not like you said, lip service. It's a matter of, you know, we have a time and a place, and if that doesn't work out, then we communicate with one another that, you know, I need to change the date or whatever, and have that be. So I've never really had that be an issue for me. So I think that's interesting that you have. But like you're saying, it depends on where you live and you know, what people are doing with all that. So,
right.
Just like,
now, and I have to say, I've never had that from you.
Well, good. See, there you go.
You're from California.
If I make that okay. Yeah. I'm from California. I'm from,
that's,
you know, middle part of the state. So there you go. But, this growing, appreciation for these kind of talking shows. And, you know, having them be, you know, lighthearted and with a comedy spin to it, you know, I was really looking at that with, you know, for health purposes and for, you know, just happiness and laughter and things like that, really being a stress buster for people when it comes to, you know, finding something to be able to laugh and enjoy the camaraderie of people getting together and enjoying each other's company and having being that something that you can share in that, even though if you're not, you know, with them, you still can enjoy the conversation and be able to benefit from that. So it's just like when, you know, you were talking about TED Talks. Yeah, that's a little bit different. It's definitely, you know, quick, to the point, and very much on topic. But there's always something that you can gain from that conversation. And it goes back to, you know, you can learn something new every day. And to think you know really anything, but that, you know, the more you know, the less you know. You know, that's, I think, something that we learn as we you know, grow older, is it's always wonderful to just have beginner's mind and really be looking for, you know, something new that I didn't know, or just looking from a new perspective. And we definitely can have that every day. So it's just really these shows are giving an opportunity to just, you know, see a lot of different points of view, and all of them hopefully funny and a little bit quirky and different. So it's something you always wanted to tune in to see what the next crazy thing is going to be for people. And just having that be something that's really great for entertainment. So, and that's the thing that's just really wonderful. That's one thing that Steve was talking about was, he has a really great YouTube that he put out about how the whole thing with the park bench got started. And it literally, they were sitting around in a bar, just like we were with the Transformation Cafe, and, you know, sitting at a cafe and talking about stuff, you know, what would we tune into? What would we want to watch? And he said, you know, you got to, when it comes to performers or just people wanting to be out on the internet and stuff, he says, you know, you have to create your own work, you know, create your own opportunities for what you would want to have that look like. And then just see what happens. If you're interested in it, you know, hopefully somebody else will. But it's, you know, it's that old, you know, that old saying that, you know, if you make it, you know, people will find it interesting, especially if you're enjoying it and putting yourself, you know, investing in it, investing in yourself, and that people are going to feel that and know that, you know, whoever resonates with it, it's going to be something that they really enjoy and be able to expand on that. So both of them are very surprised that these shows really took off and are doing so well. but I think it's something that they're both enjoying and having a really great time with it. I know Jerry just loves to do the shows, you know, when he's putting them all together and stuff like that, because he produces it. Plus, you know, he's the, you know, host of it. He just loves to get together with these people. He started that whole show because that's one thing he loved to do. He figured, I love to go out with comedians and we go have coffee and we just talk. So why not make it into something where, you know, we break down the fourth wall or third wall, whatever they say that in drama, you know, in the theater stuff, and be able to have people be able to see that and see what it's like for things like that. So it's, you know, very, very entertaining and have that. So I was just thinking, you know, we make it a Transformation Cafe and we start making it a web series too. So there you go. We're getting together and doing it that way. What do you think?
The question is, are people willing to just listen to the audio, or is there also the visual content that's appealing because they get to interact with the individuals through the body language?
Right, exactly. And I mean, I've done shows with my sister Amy where we've been able to sit together and actually do the show. And it is quite fun for both of us because we're not just listening on the phone. We're able to interact with each other's body language and stuff too, and be able to, watch one another as we're talking. So this is definitely another level of taking in information and stuff. So it's fun. But it's just a really interesting topic to me, I think, about, you know, what's really happening and why it's happening. It's an interesting thing. So I don't necessarily have all the answers on that, but I'm glad that it's out there. And people, they're just living their passion. Like you said, you know, we're creating something that we think is a great idea, and we're just creating opportunities for people to be able to be doing something great with it. So it's just a neat thing. So comediansandcarswithcoffee.com, and then the other one is Park Bench The Show, and it's actually an AOL original show series that they're putting together for that. So a couple places to be. Go ahead and start with that. So I got to warn you, for me, you know, it gets to be addictive because I know it's Thursday and I'm going to check out my show. So I've been enjoying those for quite some time. So it's like, oh, it's Thursday. Okay, I'm going to check that out. So it makes it really, really fun to be able to do that stuff.
That explains why the phone gets turned off on Thursday.
I know. Well, you know what? They always used to release it on Thursday morning, and now they're doing it like Wednesday night. So when I get up in the morning, because I think they do it back east. So with us being in California, we actually get it first thing in the morning. You know, it's put into the emails before on Wednesday night, late at night kind of thing. So I get up in the morning and it's there. I'm all like, yes, you know. Get my little fix for the week. So it's something fun to be able to do on that. So what do you think of that? And why do you think it's successful?
The same reason that the Seinfeld show was successful.
Kind of quirky, and that people tune in just to see what's going to happen.
I think so.
You know, are we gonna eat a candy bar with a knife and fork? Do you remember that episode?
I don't.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember who it was. I think it was George was eating a candy bar with a knife and fork. And they were at the cafe and everybody was freaking out because he was eating it with a knife and fork. And he's like, well, if it was cake, you'd eat it with a knife and fork. Why is a candy bar wrong? You know, so they have this whole, you know. That's one thing Jerry's really good at anyway, is observation. That's the one thing he's good at, is, you know, observing people and why they do what they do. So it's very, very interesting. But, you know, I one thing that my other friend Michelle had talked about, too, was that art of listening and how people just really want to be heard. And she thinks that she was saying that she thinks that's why everything like this is so popular, is giving people that opportunity to take the time to really listen to one another and just to kind of see where you say, well, that will take you in a conversation.
That would be an interesting conversation to delve into, only because one of the sites when I was looking at information and doing a little bit of research regarding some of the background as to points you had brought up, there was a page that came up about how to script a dialogue. And they one of the first parts they were talking about was how if you were to listen to a normal conversation, that you would hear a lot of burrs and ums, and you would hear people talking over each other. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like it's a challenge, and people are struggling to be heard, but no one's listening.
Right, right. Well, I think we've had another show in the past where we talked about that, about, you know, how important it is to really just listen to what that other person is saying instead of trying to have the, you know, the reply before you're really hearing what the other person is sharing with you.
Right.
So, it, you know, that's something that, you know, being able to slow that down. I know I'm guilty of that. I used to do that all the time. And I think that's a discipline that I've really sought to develop in myself, is to really just be present with what somebody's saying instead of having an automatic response. One thing that was good for me was, for a while, a group of friends and I, you know, we would get together and each of us would have, we'd set a timer and we'd talk for 3 minutes and nobody else would talk. We'd just basically share what we wanted to share. And people would have pens and paper and anything that they wanted to reply with, the things that, anything that came up for in the sharing, they would have a minute to go ahead and share that. So it really helps to make everything concise. It really helps to have everybody coming from, you know, what's really important here for me to share with that person instead of just being a bunch of talk.
You realize that's the early version of Scrum, which is a form of project management.
Well, you know what? What was interesting is, like, we did it for like at least 9 or 10 months. And at the beginning, they were all looking at me like, I can't talk for 3 minutes. I need a lot more time than that. But it was amazing. By the time we had been doing it, by the time we got done, you know, doing it after a few months, they all would, you know, be done before 3 minutes were over. You know,
yes.
They learned to really share what was really on their heart, what they wanted to share, and even the responses of things that would come up for people were just very concise, right to the point, but very very heartfelt and what really mattered instead of it being a bunch of conversation. So it was really neat.
People learn to choose their words and to actually think. When you think about what it is you want to say, it was, I just lost his name, the gentleman who wrote Mark Twain.
Clemens,
Samuel Clemens. At one point I had heard a quote that he had where he said, I could say less if I had more time. Because
that's good.
Because when you seriously stop and think about what it is you want to say and you encapsulate it, you don't need as many words, and you pay attention to the words that you choose, and they mean more.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're paying attention.
And think about that time period when he was writing. I mean, the use of language was just so different.
Oh, I love it. Yes.
My gosh. Just the knowing of the vocabulary and the way that words would really be used in such a different way. I mean, when you think of that, when it comes to poets and just writers in general, people doing novels and things like that, just the way that they could just, you know, use words as paint and just, you know, paint this beautiful picture. It's just amazing. It's just amazing. That's one thing, as I've gotten older, I've really appreciated just really great writing, you know. Go ahead.
Sorry. Oh, please finish.
Have I ever?
Oh, no, you please finish what you were saying.
No, I was just, I've talked before about Mark Nepo and just all the ways that he's a poet, but he also does a lot of stuff on self-development and things like that. And it's just, some of the things he writes about are just, you know, you read it and then you want to read it again. Or I'm thinking like Robert Bly, if you've never read anything that Robert Bly has written. It's one of those things where, that's one thing I had gone to a conference one time when Robert Bly was there, and he was reading these poems. And he would read the poem, and then everybody would look at each other, and they go, read it again. And he would read it like 3 times. And, of course, every time he read, you know, he would read it, you just get it at this deeper and deeper level. And it was that much more satisfying. You know, it was just amazing how you would just take it in, and then you read it again, you know. And, you know, luckily they weren't long poems. But, I mean, oh, my God, you know, can you imagine? But anyway, yeah, it'd be like maybe a couple minutes of him reading or something like that. Or there'd be certain certain, you know, certain sentences or something, people would just go, oh my gosh, read that again. I need to chew on it because it's so good. You know,
well,
I need to bathe my soul in that for a minute, you know.
I have a couple of favorites, and one of my favorites is William Cullen Bryant.
Mm-hmm,
he wrote Thanatopsis.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jabberwocky is his favorite. I don't know who the author was, as well as Desiderata. And, you know, these, there's just so much within the language that it's just amazing. You stop and dissect it and you really understand. And the choices of words, not only are they meaningful, but they're poetic, as you say. They have substance, they have visual, they have pictures that go with the words, and they evoke an emotion and a picture in the mind.
Mm-hmm. See, this, you know, that's what we're talking, you know, this is the talking. This is the talking that we're sharing. So it's that, just that richness of, you know, we're sharing just these experience of things that just, you know, add to the conversation, add to the park bench, add to the, you know, the coffee. So it's just wonderful, wonderful. Well, like always, 30 minutes is way too short for us, girl. We need to have more time. But I thank you for joining us. And you're always just such a joy so that you and I can spend some time together here at the cafe.
See you next time.
Okay. And we thank you for joining us. And, you know, like us, and we'd love for you guys to be rating us. Go and check out our online store. There'll be all kinds of, there'll be links here on the show for the Park Bench and also Comedians in Cars with Coffee. And we hope that you will tune into them as well and learn the joys of having some talking for our show. And we thank you. And we'll see you next time here at the cafe.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.